Episode 478, April 27th, 2020.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
This is The Robin Joe Show.
2 minutes until showtime.
A f***ing great show.
Listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Robbie Robinson does not get enough credit.
The Robin Joe Show, my two favorite guys.
You're listening to The Robin Joe Show.
Do you feel lucky? Do you
punk? The Robin Joe Show.
I've got Rob and Joe before, and they do an amazing job.
Go back on that Rob and Joe show.
Rob and Joe show.
The Rob and Joe show is my favorite.
Rob Mayer, Joe Robinson, here they are.
Please, secure your belongings. Keep your arms and legs inside the car at all times. And remain seated until the ride comes to a complete stop. Now, here's Rob Mayer and Joe Robinson.
Monday! Yes, it's Monday! I'm waiting all week, and as it's time for Robin Joe. Chat room Monday! It's 7:30, that's when I hear live Robin Joe. Done with Monday! Oh, it's been a hard day, thank God it's time for Robin Joe.
Just got done recording our first ever Rob and Joe show Zoom party. I don't know what we're calling it. Hey, Joe, why don't we list who was on it of the notables, and then we'll just let people guess who the star of the show was.
True. Robbie, pull chat up, although a lot of the chat is going to be the same people that were on the Zoom call. But so what do you say? Me, you, and Robbie and Gramps were on there.
Yep. We had Chris Restivo.
Right.
Mac Bergson. We had Matt Colby, Benchwarmer. We had Michael Chamberlain. We had Katie Robinson.
We had both my neighbors.
We had neighbors, yep. Devin and Ryan.
All right. Are we missing anybody?
We had Scott Apple.
How could we miss Scott Apple? Yeah. And Scott Apple. And they said Scott Apple looked like Little Dicky, which he does. He does look like Little Dicky.
He looks like Rick Moranis when he shaves, and then Little Dicky with the beard.
Hey, Little Dicky is a much better look, believe me.
He's like a little mini Wolverine.
The name of it is Rob and Joe Show All-Stars Supergroup Super Zoom.
Did you
go. One person who didn't make it was Robbie's black friend, Phil. Very upset about that.
He did not.
Robbie, did you invite Tommy Simbazo and Eric Woodworth?
I invited both those guys and Justin.
Okay.
And Sean.
Okay.
Too busy for us.
Yeah, none of the guys from Die Laughing made it on. Did you let them know what it was, or did you just send an invite?
I just sent the invite. Okay. It was said Rob and Joe Show.
I needed to talk to them about that. No big deal. That's on me.
Well, for everyone listening at home, it was very successful and it was fun, but I think we all agree that Mike Chamberlain stole the show.
Oh, yeah. Mike Chamberlain was definitely the funniest person in there. He said, who the hell's this guy when Chris Restivo came in? I'm sorry, who the hell's this kid?
But shout out to Mac Bergson's Zoom backdrop, which was the picture of Mike Chamberlain doing magic for the six black kids.
Yeah, no, that was good. Mike he chose not to comment. Could you ask him what he thought? Because he never commented on it, and apparently he's seen it the whole time. He just, you know, he was unfazed by it.
But it was good to talk to people. Everyone was funny, and it was. We're going to release it on our Patreon, right, Robbie?
That is correct. It'll be out soon.
Awesome. I know Matt Colby had thought, you know, because he's used to just, you know, chiming in on the chat, these one line, the zingers. But I thought he had a couple zingers on the Zoom too. So well done.
Yeah, nicely done. Hey, I got a story. If it's time for that, but
sure.
Katie saw a house, literally, that was for sale. That she saw online, that she's like, she fell in love with this house. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly, you know, the first thing is, gosh, trying to buy a house during this is, what's that going to be like? Right. So, of course, we drive by it. We call our realtor. Within an hour, we're in it. We're going to see this house. Okay. So we go in. The realtor looks at the outside of the house, and then we switch. And I realize, man, I really have to go to the bathroom. Right. So I said to, Katie and the realtors or whatever. And by the way, you're 6 feet away from them. I'm wearing a mask. I'm wearing gloves, right? I go, I really have to go to the bathroom. Well, I have to shit. Okay, there's nobody in this house.
Is this a house, a new home, or someone lives in this house?
Nobody lives in this house. It is brand fucking new. Okay?
Okay.
All right. So then I go in there, and I'm like, all right, I couldn't. I had to go, and I go. Okay?
There's Brent, toilet paper?
I didn't realize there's no toilet paper. Okay, Katie, by the way, if Katie's listening, this is the first she's hearing of it. She doesn't know of it. Okay? So I literally get up and sit in that sink and bidet my ass into that sink of that house hadn't been touched yet. Okay?
Oh, my God. This is horrible.
All right. So there's shit in the toilet. I left a little
house just looking around. What?
I'm trying to make it as quick as I possibly can because I don't want them to know.
Sure. And
anyway, so I'm done. I clean myself up. Then I'm doing the best I can to make sure the sink is all good. But you know, there's something left in the toilet. I see a little, and I keep flushing it. But it's gonna be on the side of the bowl. It's there. I don't know what to do. So I'm done. I leave. I'm like, that's embarrassing, but they'll never know. So blah blah blah. Then I'm like, oh shit. I left the gloves in there.
No, no.
And I go, oh, sorry, guys. I left the gloves in the house. No problem. I'll run in and get them. So if somehow I got away with it, I ruined that. Because the dude went in there. There was a husband and wife. And went in there and retrieved the gloves. And his whole demeanor had changed when he came back out. It wasn't the same guy.
Oh, no. Joe, do you know the date on this?
Yeah, so it could be put in the Google calendar. So it was yesterday, the 26th, yeah.
Okay, because our Google calendar for Die Laughing Productions, Eric added April 23rd, the one-year anniversary of Joe shitting his pants in a Kohl's.
And now here I am almost a year to the day shitting my pants again.
April's a rough month for you, man.
Oh, man, April's the month that's when it happens for me. I got to be more careful with my diet in April, man. Yeah, that was a horrible experience that I didn't share with Katie. I was like, you know what? I'm just going to hold on to this until I get on the Rob and Joe show, and then I'll explain what happened.
I want to hear her reaction, though. Is there a way that we can get an instant reaction from her?
I don't know. I'd have to tell the whole story all over again.
Well, can you tell it quickly?
I guess I can.
Is that a good idea?
Or we can just make sure she listens and then get a reaction next week.
No, because he wants to get it real time. But I hear you. We'll get her next week because she's obviously not. Believe me, if she's listening, I would hear it right now. So she's not.
Yeah, she's not in chat, so she usually would be.
Does this affect your thoughts on buying this house?
Well, it ends up we're not going to buy the house. There's a few other issues that couldn't be seen in the pictures or whatever. So we're not doing that. But would it affect it? Probably not, right?
I don't know. It seems like I know you don't believe in that, but it does seem like a bad omen.
No, I don't agree with that. I mean, I feel like, hey, it's already mine. You know what I mean?
Do you think that Katie would see it that way, that would make her feel closer to the home?
No, I don't think that would make her feel closer to the home. And I don't think you think that either.
I do not. That sounds like, I mean, obviously a 10 out of 10 is that you just shit your pants in front of a group of people. but that seems pretty high on the scale of a bad situation to be in.
Oh, my God, dude. Well, you know what? It only went from bad to worse because I'm like, I'll get away with this. I'll get away with it if I just shit in here and then, you know. But then I'm like, oh, no. Once the toilet paper wasn't there, I realized this is going to be an ordeal. Let me tell you what I'm not doing. I'm not just zipping up and going out. That's not going to happen. Not with the urgency with which this came. You follow what I'm saying? I was in no position to just roll with it.
I understand.
It. Yeah.
And I'm assuming there was no spray or anything.
Oh, my God, no. Luckily, it's, you know, there was new carpet and there was new paint. So clearly there's still those smells that help mask some things. And I always thought, well, maybe that. But in the guy's no way the guy lifted up the toilet. Maybe he did. I don't know. But if he did, then I won't get out. I'll never get away with it at that point. They're going to know it was me. But there's too many.
No soap, no washing your hands.
That's what I'm saying. Oh, when I went out and I go, hey, you know what? There's no soap in there. I go, anybody got any hand sanitizer? And Katie threw me, thank God, she threw me the hand sanitizer. She threw it to me. So then I just caught it and I hand sanitized myself and I gave it back. Yeah.
Well, I'm glad you survived that, Joe. You had a busy week on 98 Rock. Doing a lot of NFL draft stuff. You got any juicy stories from that?
Robbie's going to be upset if I talk too much about it. I will say this. On my Twitter, I gave my wish list for the Ravens in the first round in order 1, 2, and 3. If I could have this person, that would be ideal. If I could have this person, that would be the next best case scenario. And if I could have this person, it'd be the third best. And I went reasonably. I knew Joe Burrow or Chase Young weren't going to be playing for the Ravens, but I went up with who you could possibly get down there. My number one hope was the exact player they drafted publicly. Does that make sense? So, meaning I publicly explained that was at the top of my wish list, and then I got to retweet that that's exactly who they got.
We did a little, just like four of us did a mock draft pool where each submitted our first round mock, and you actually got 8 correct, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that is really, really good to get 8 out of 32 correct.
Yeah, but I believe, and the truth is, the way that those things should happen is they should be weighted, because it gets much more difficult as it goes on. And the very last, so each pick you get right should be the value of where you got them.
Well, then I would have won.
You would have won, right, because you had some way laid down. Now, there's a lot more luck involved. You know what I mean? In that regard, as long as, because I might have 7 picks in a row that are 1 spot off, and you might not even be close, but you nail that and you win it. So there's some more, I don't know, is luck the right word? But it's more arbitrary there. But yeah, that's good. I don't even remember. Do you remember the player?
Yeah, Edwards-Helaire from LSU, running back for the Chiefs. I was proud of that pick because I thought they were going to go running back. But he was generally the 3rd or 4th ranked on most lists. But it seemed like an Andy Reid Chiefs kind of a running back going. You know, Andy Reid, I've been watching him have great running backs since the Eagles, and that kind of a player that can run it and catch it. So I was proud that I nailed that.
And I'll say one more thing, and then we'll be done, Robbie, talking about football. That the Ravens, they. This is what I give the most credence to, because any one person obviously can be, if they're wrong, then you only have sample size of 1 to make your decision. But if you take all the drafts together and find out kind of what the consensus is in terms of where teams should be graded, the Ravens were 3rd overall in that, using that system. Does that make sense?
No, they did a great, I thought they killed it. Now, you know, the season doesn't start until September. Obviously, late July and August is training camp and preseason. Clearly, if they have preseason games, there's no reason to have an audience, a crowd for that. But do you think, as we sit here on April 27th, that the NFL season will start on time, and will they have fans in the audience?
So I've always thought that there's too much money at stake for them not to start on time. But really, we see decisions that are being made all over the country that are happening in spite of these billions of dollars that are at stake. So maybe we'll be far enough away from it at that point that kind of money matters. But it is weird that kind of money, and by the way, that's good, I think. You know, you don't want money to be the driving force to every decision that's made, but obviously it's a factor. But the fact that there's no sports being played right now, I mean, it tells you that this is bigger than money. But still, I do think at that point, they'll start playing on time. Well, I'm going to love this huge black guy with a 14-inch cock. Robbie's trying to throw some comedy in there.
I think that the reason some of these leagues aren't playing now is because they're holding out the NBA and the NHL and Major League Baseball. They'd like to get in as many games as possible with an audience, with a gate. So I think they could probably play now with no audience, but I think they want to wait till they get some audience. I think the NFL will definitely start on time. I don't know if there'll be a crowd yet, but they're they get so much money from TV. The draft did incredible ratings. So
yeah, that's
people are going to watch, even if there's nobody in the audience. College is a different story because you have to have people in class.
Right.
And that's very – it's much more contingent on there being, you know, ticket sales and people at the game and cheerleaders and the band and the whole deal. So if school isn't in session, then college football seems much more dicey at this point.
Yeah, and the ratings would be up, so there would be more money in that. So, yeah, it won't surprise me at all if they start on time. It won't surprise me at all if other sports are playing in front of nobody.
Yeah, you know, it's something I think we talked about. I think I said that recently on the point about people are so defensive about their opinion these days online that they'll never give in. They're protective,
right.
I believe is the word I used. And I think it's even more than that. It's because it gets so nasty that you're more likely to be protective of an opinion when you have a fight about it versus like if you and I just had a debate on some direction with some character in the murder mystery and you wanted it to go in this direction and I thought that that wasn't going to make sense or whatever, and then we agree to do it your way, but it's just a friendly conversation now and it goes great. You know, I say, hey, good job. You're right. And you go, yeah, I thought it was going to work. And we move on.
Yeah. And I don't even know.
Dude, that's fucking stupid, Joe. You're an idiot. You're like, well, fuck you.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about? And it gets nasty. Now I'm watching our own show, hoping that this doesn't go well, which is bad for our show. And then if it does go well, I'm like, well, you got lucky. And you're like, yeah, I told you so. And now we have this nasty thing. So that's what happens online. I feel like it just gets so angry. And now. You have people rooting against what's good, what we would like to have happen, because they've gotten so nasty and they're back and forth with people regarding their opinions. Does that make sense?
It makes a lot of sense. And I say all the time, you know, I'll say my opinion and then sometimes I'll say I'd like to be wrong about this. Because if I'm right, sometimes that brings a negative effect to myself or somebody else, right? So
That's
what's missing. The idea that, okay, my opinion is that such and such is going to happen, but then if it doesn't, I'm going to be thrilled that it did not, right? For example, if you think somebody's a racist and you call them a racist and it ends up that they're not, you should be happy about that. If you think this disease is going to be more deadly than it has been and you're wrong about that, you should want that. And
of
I
course.
Do think that people put such a premium on being right now that they will just kind of amend whatever. Because, you know, there are two sides saying, listen to science. Well, what does that fucking tell you? You can't do it. That doesn't work. The opposing sides can't be both saying use the exact same source to make a determination, or we're never going to get the truth, especially out of, you know, Twitter or wherever we're going for our news.
Well, listen to science. Well, science doesn't agree. I mean, Quebec just said they're opening up their schools.
Well, you understand.
Sweden's been open for 3 weeks. I mean, so.
You understand that if J.L. Covan was on here, he would disagree that that was a good idea and he would use science. You'll just tailor, right. Not you, but people will just tailor the science to meet whatever their, wherever their opinion skews. So I'm not, anytime somebody starts championing that they're behind the scientific community, even that doesn't mean anything now. You have to go in and dig through, sift through the science yourself because, you know, I keep hearing science being quoted. And I hear it being quoted on both sides as, you know, propping them up.
It's sort of maddening. I try to stay off of it. It's like there's some people that I feel like anything positive, they just dismiss it automatically. And it's just like, why? I mean, you can not go crazy and think this means everything's great or this one piece of information, maybe it doesn't mean that much. But if it's a positive thing, be happy about it. It's like we're trying to do a jigsaw puzzle. And you find a piece that fits and they're like, oh, well, you see another 1,000 more pieces. Oh, that you don't, maybe they fit, but you don't know where in the puzzle. That's just an edge piece. Look, motherfucker, every piece is closer to solving the puzzle. So any piece that fits, we should be happy about it and not shit on the idea and dismiss it. There's so much doomsday. It's just like, do you not want this to end well? It's just be positive, right? That's just me. I don't know.
Hey, let's go in a different direction. Actually, on the other side of the break, I got asked a question in chat. Joe, do you have IBS? And I have some thoughts on this. So let's take a break and I'll give you my symptoms on the other side.
Rob's new album is now available for download. Comedy for the Quarantine.
You say an hour.
foreplay. I know, I understand. He doesn't have that much foreplay in him. This guy, he's got like three moves. He fucking does them in reverse, and that's six, but it's really the same fucking move. You know what he's doing. Left to right, right to left. It's fucking, what's he? Yeah. He's drinking White Claw. He's giving up. I mean, the fucking guy is just giving up on life. He stopped trying. It's like, I mean, he's like, do you have a cucumber, berry, grape, seltzer water with one calorie that if I drink 17, I can still drive legally? Do you have that? I'd like to get a bucket of that, please. Yes. You took a DNA test and you're 100% basic bitch, okay? They're good as shit, though. They're fucking tasty. All right. You can drive a school bus legally. It doesn't fucking matter.
All proceeds go to the Rob Mayer Relief Fund. Please visit robmayer.com for more info. The cheer you need is here, just in time. Comedy for the quarantine.
You could use the laughs. I could use the money.
The Rob and Joe Show.
Well, Scott Apple famously told his girlfriend, now wife, that he had IBS to leave the date because he was nervous about, you know, making out with her or whatever. And so he actually said he had IBS to get out of spending the night when he didn't have IBS. But people in chatter, they're saying that you might actually have IBS, Joe. Irritable bowel syndrome.
Yeah, Matt Colby's very upset that he didn't bring that up in our Zoom meeting.
So let me ask, here's what I'm going to ask you. Maybe I do have it. How frequently do you have to have your not regular, right? Your not regular movement. I didn't even want to say movement. I don't know another way to say that. For you to say, I might have IBS. What's the frequency?
I don't know. I mean, it doesn't happen that often to me. So I'm looking at the...
Well, what's not that often? Does it happen once a year? Does it happen once a month?
I think it'd have to be a lot more than once a year. Once a month would be the starting point.
Yeah, it definitely happens once a month. It doesn't happen once a week. Now, here are the symptoms up here. Okay, so pain and cramping is first. I don't have that. Diarrhea, I do. I mean, I don't have it. I don't have it once a week, but I might have it more than once a month. The next thing it says is constipation. I'm telling you right now, I've never been constipated in my life. I've never been constipated.
Well, there's IBS-D and IBS-C.
Oh, so one is,
would have D.
Oh, I see. It says it can't. So far, I only have one of the three symptoms.
Well, it says you may often feel an urgent need to move your bowels. Now, yeah, what is often?
That I have that, but hold on. Let me see here. It says alternating constipation and diarrhea as the fourth symptom. I don't have that. Diarrhea I have. I don't have it that frequently. Okay. Next. Changes in bowel movement. What does that mean?
Maybe different times of the day. I don't know.
Gas and bloating. Routine. Huh. I don't know that I ever feel, I mean, I don't think I feel bloated. But I have gas. Doesn't everybody?
Sure. Well, Robbie, what do you think?
I don't think he fits the mold.
I'm still going. Look, next, food intolerance. No, right past that. Fatigue and difficulty sleeping. I don't sleep great, but that, I think it has more to do with my CPAP than it has to do with that. Hey, anxiety and depression. I don't have that. That's it. I don't have IBS.
Well, how often does this happen? You're saying once a month you're in the situations where it's an emergency.
No,
you have to just
stop. That might happen one or two. That's the over under on that is plus 1.5, where it's urgent. Not if I maybe it's more than that, but it's not. It's a very
year.
It's a tiny number.
A year you're talking about.
Yeah, but that just having it not regular, that's not super uncommon. It happens a lot.
All right, so we're gonna go ahead and diagnose you as not having IBS.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate it.
No problem. I'm a medical expert. Just like I'm an expert on the COVID-19. Robbie, you're famous or infamous, I don't know what the term is, for your complaining, you're upset with, you're calling on the manager, you're being a Karen, I believe is the term. You say you have a news story on that front.
Well, I wasn't calling to complain, exactly. But I went to do my grocery shopping. Do it during the week, not on the weekend, because it's crazy on the weekend, but I've been doing it during the week when there's not that many people in there. And and afterwards I stopped by the nearby Sheetz, my neighborhood Sheetz. And I had that salt craving. You guys ever get the chili cheese flavored Fritos?
I think I have had those.
That sounds delicious.
Well, they're salty and they have a lot of this flavoring on them. Like they're thick with it. It's all over your fingers when you eat it.
Back on your health kick, by the way.
So I got some. I open up the bag and there's barely any seasoning on them.
Are you fucking kidding me?
Wait a second. I've bought these things on and off for more than 5 years, easily, right? But this was a bad batch. There was something weird about them, right? So I was like, I hope they didn't change them in some way because these suck. So I said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm just going to call this hotline. So I saw the little number on the bag.
Probably their first call in like 3 years.
Well, I want you guys to guess. Think about it. I want you to guess what the customer service guy's name was. Think about it for a second. What do you think?
Oh, Brad.
No.
Oh.
Rob.
Rod.
No. His name was Chip.
Oh, because I got you.
And I go, Chip, I'm calling about chips and your name is Chip. And he's like, yeah. Like he's heard that a thousand times. Anyway. So now I didn't call to complain per se, and I didn't call to get any free Fritos. I really just called to find out, hey, have you guys changed something about these? Because if you did, I don't want to get them anymore because they kind of suck. I mean, I'll just get regular Fritos. These are not that great. So he assured me that they had not changed it, and he's going to send me some coupons for some free Fritos. I'm like, great, because I had to read all the numbers off the package and all this shit and tell him where I bought them. But here's the irony of the story. I didn't even pay for the things. I have my Sheetz loyalty card. I got free chips and sodas all the time.
That's the irony.
I'm going to get a bunch of free chips in the mail. What's that?
How long did this whole process take of calling in, getting through them?
I had to wait a few minutes before I got Chip on the line. So maybe a total of 15 minutes almost.
God, how many free chips you think you're going to get?
That's a good question. I haven't gotten them yet, so I don't know.
I mean, I want to shit on you, Robbie, but you know what? I would definitely spend 15 minutes of my day to get some free chips. It seems worth it to me.
Hey, you're saying they're not that busy? Two things. First of all, they're probably busier than they've ever been because everybody's sitting around with nothing to do.
Those are all prank calls. They're not actually real inquiries like Robbie had.
Secondly, what percentage of people that call the chip complaint hotline do you think are reasonable people? It's a fucking chip complaint hotline.
Not that many.
Less than 5%.
God, that job, the person, Chip, that guy, whatever he's, I guarantee you the turnover is fucking crazy there. If you're in the Frito-Lay complaint hotline, oh, that sounds so miserable.
But wouldn't you just change your name so you don't have to hear that dumb joke every
exactly.
time?
Exactly. That's what I thought. Use your middle name, guy.
Well, first of all, his name's not Chip. That is a nickname. His name isn't Chip.
Well, I've asked this, and I think some people actually have Chip as a real first name.
Chip?
You're right. It's usually a nickname, but I think that some people do have the first name Chip.
My brother and I have a cousin named Chip. Now, I'm going to ask Rob first. I'm going to give you a million guesses. Can you tell me what his real first name is?
Chipper?
Rob, you've never even heard this name.
I believe his first name is Wayman. Am I correct about that, Robbie?
That is correct. His first name is Wayman.
Wayman. No one knew it.
Well, how does he get Chip as the nickname?
I don't know.
Because his father's name was Wayman, and he's a chip off the old block. That's my guess.
Mickey Coachella's brother's name, Chip. Is that not his real name?
Good question.
No, it can't be, right?
We got to find out.
Well, Chipper Jones played for the Braves. Great player. Is that a nickname?
I mean, I'm going to tell you within the next 2 seconds. But Chipper is also different. It's a horrible name, but that's not Chip either. Chipper.
Yeah, it's Larry Dwayne Chipper Jones.
That's what I say. His name is Dwayne. Is that it? Oh, Larry Wayne. Gotcha.
Mm-hmm. So, what percentage of people that go by Chip are actually named Chipper Chipper on their birth certificate?
Under 5%.
Yeah. Around 5%, probably.
Right. What nickname, and I'm going to give you one, is very common, but you know damn well nobody's real name is this. I have one in my head. It's going to be the lowest percentage of the common nicknames where this is on their birth certificate.
Dick.
Nope. This is less
junior?
Common than Dick. No, Junior's more common. Junior's more common than this.
Schmitty?
Lefty.
Lefty.
It's true because, first of all, yeah. a lot of people are called Lefty, and nobody names their kid Lefty because you don't know if they're going to be left-handed by the time you name them.
Is there another famous Lefty other than Lefty Drizzell?
Oh, there's Lefty, Lefty, Steve Lefty Carlton. You got Lefty. Is it Lefty Grove? There's a baseball player whose nickname was Lefty, right? Lefty. Yeah, Lefty
what
Grove. I got it.
The people that go by Lefty are female.
I've never met a female named Lefty. Do you think anybody has a nickname Righty? That'd be a great fucking seriously.
Yeah.
Hey, I want you to start calling me that.
Yeah. Why do you call him Righty? Because he's right.
Yeah. Oh, man, that is a great nickname.
Righty. I like it. Let's get that to spread.
You know that Ryan, who was in, my neighbor, who was on the Zoom call, he's having a son. And that's why I'm going to give him that nickname, Righty. And see if it can stick.
Hey, thank you to Katie and Joe for sending me your thank you card for your wedding. I got mine to Tawanda and I, but I believe Matt Colby says in chat he has yet to get his.
Everyone is sent out except for Mac Bergson's. I just got his address. Meanwhile, Mac Bergson, you know, I know I'm not supposed to say this, but he sent me a bunch of things, and I didn't have his address. It's rude, but That's one card is sitting on Katie's desk. That's it.
Hey, Rob, Joe asked me if I had Mac Bergson's address. I said, why don't you ask this person? They might have it. Guess who did not have his address?
Person. Gramps.
Yes, exactly. Gramps doesn't have it.
Nobody did. He sent it to me.
Oh, he eventually got it.
He eventually got it to me, yeah. I feel bad for my father, man. He's so bored. I don't know what to do for him. We're not allowed to leave. Hey, by the way, you know that did I already say this last week? I don't think I knew it last week. Do you know I'm on a mandatory 14-day quarantine?
Mm-mm. No, yeah. I don't think it was news yet, or you hadn't mentioned it.
Well, I don't know how much I can divulge, but my office is closed, the office that I normally go to, until May 2nd, and I'm supposed to self-quarantine. I'm not even allowed to go out and, you know, run around because that was in that building, like within the last 2 weeks, like I haven't seen this guy literally in 3 months, but there was somebody who had it. And it was in the building that I was in. They shut the building down. May 2nd, that's when it opens back up.
I bet it was that damn new security guard.
No, it wasn't the security guard.
Well, but you weren't going in, were you?
Yeah, I would have to go in. I don't know how interesting this is going to be, but I'm an essential employee. No, I'm just kidding. No, listen, I'm sorry. This is what I would do. There's work that I couldn't do regarding putting postage on things, regarding getting mail. Mail is still physically delivered. So the only thing that I could do was to go physically get it, right? And,
yeah.
You know, look, I'm not going to come back to nothing. I have, you know, I have to carry on, right? I have to do my job. If I don't do it, you know, I can't put my own job in jeopardy. So, you know, I go. So I don't know if I'm considered essential, but I'm essential to me. So what I do is I put on my mask. I put on my gloves. I go in. I don't go within 6 feet of anybody. I do what I got to do, and I roll out.
Well, Righty, you're very essential to me as well.
Thanks, man.
Hey, have you done, you've done a poll on Twitter before, correct?
Yeah, I've done a few of them.
I got 76 votes. This is my biggest poll results ever. On Kim Jong-un, dead or alive?
Oh, really? I don't know that I voted. I don't know that I saw that.
Well, dead got it at 68.4%. So a little over 2-1.
Yeah, I don't know if this is the one that was the most for me, but maybe it was about 2 weeks ago I put out a poll where I said, what are the chances that Carol Baskin... here's one. How about this one? This got 335 votes. What's the most white trash condiment? Did you see that, Rob?
Yeah, I think I voted ranch.
So that's what... Ranch won, by the way, by a landslide. So here it is, Rob. I'm interested in your opinion. It was ketchup, ranch, mayo, or other. Those were your choices.
I don't remember if I voted. I think that mayo is the answer. Or no, yeah. Ketchup. Ketchup is the answer.
So I thought it was ketchup, but ranch won in a landslide.
Well, I don't think it's that ranch is white trash. It's just that they use ranch on everything. That's what makes it the white trash condiment.
But the thing is that I didn't get the most white trash condiment. That clearly is Miracle Whip.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that.
I thought that you forgot that.
But that's got to be number one.
You've been tweeting a lot. You did some good song stuff today. Name four perfect songs. Robbie, can you think of some real quick here? And you said...
I Want You Back, Jackson 5.
That's a perfect song.
Okay, I agree. Let's read Joe's first, but I agree. That's good, Robbie. Fast Car, Tracy Chapman, The Wait, The Band, Dog Days Are Over, Florence and the Machine, Into the Mystic, Van Morrison.
Now, before Robbie says anything, do you know what inspired that tweet?
No.
So that song by Florence and the Machine came on the radio. I'm like, this is really a fucking perfect song.
I love it.
It's just a great song. Everything about it is good. There's not a part of it that's weak. It's just such a great song. And I go, they nailed it. That's a perfect song. So that's when I decided to do that. So I'm like, all right, let me try to space them apart, make them different genres, you know, or whatever. And so those are the four songs. Clearly, I think there are other perfect songs, but those were the four that came to my head, which is Fast Car by Tracy Chapman, The Wait by The Band, which is my all-time favorite song, by the way, and then that Florence and the Machine song. And what was the last one I said? I can't recall.
Into the Mystic.
Yeah, Into the Mystic by Van Morrison. And a Van Morrison song was my wedding song. And it wasn't that one, clearly.
In this bar, Kelsey's over by in Ellicott City, where I used to live. And, you know, they're just playing music and people were just talking at the bar. But then that Dog Days Are Over came on. And when they do that thumb snap thing.
Right, right.
Everyone at the bar just started doing it. I was like, okay. This song, suddenly people are now into this song where they were just chatting. It is a great song.
I once created a list of 61 perfect pop songs, and I'll give you my top 10.
All right, let's hear it. Well, oh, cool. Go. Hey, are they in order? That they're perfect? There is no order, right?
I'm going to give you 10 to 1.
Okay.
I'm going to count
down. Can you give us the artist first, and we can guess the song?
Sure. 10 is Hall & Oates.
Oh, man. I'm going to say she's gone, yeah.
It's Kiss on my list.
Yes. Okay.
I mean, I'm in the pop category, not broad. I'm sticking with pop. Okay. So Kiss on my list. I mean,
yeah, but I guess my problem is, I know we're on number 10, but I literally think there's 8 better Hall & Oates songs.
I don't say they're better. I say that they're perfect as a pop song in
okay.
that genre.
Gotcha. Okay.
Continue. Kiss on my list. I mean,
I gotcha. Okay. Go ahead.
Dream seems more perfectly pop.
Yeah.
Okay. Maybe. Yeah. Be My Baby by the Ronettes is number 9. Oh, okay. Sorry. I was supposed to name the artist first.
Yeah, that's it's okay. Fine. Go to the next one.
Well, you're going to know this one, Eagles.
A perfect pop song? Well, hold on. It's a pop song, so I got to think of one of the poppiest songs.
You're going to criticize me for this one. But
oh, then Hotel California?
No, it's New Kid in Town.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
All right. Ready?
And I like that song, but all right.
Andy Gibb.
Shadow Dancing.
Staying Alive.
The answer is I Just Want to Be Your Everything.
Okay. Go ahead.
I got another Hall & Oates in the top 10.
Well, I don't know what the hell you're going to say. Maneater? Like, I don't what you would consider a pop song. Rich Girl?
It's Rich Girl.
Okay.
The answer.
I do love Rich Girl.
Billy Joel.
It's a pop song. Only the Good Die Young.
Correct. Obviously.
Okay.
Ooh, that's good.
Michael Jackson.
What number are we?
We're at number 4 now.
The Way You Make Me Feel.
Billie Jean.
Billie Jean is the answer.
Okay.
Queen.
Pop song. I guess We Will Rock You?
Yes, of course.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Simon and Garfunkel.
Pop song. Me and Julio Down by the Schoolyard.
Rob.
Pop song? God. I don't know. Feeling Groovy?
It's Mrs. Robinson.
Okay.
Okay.
And then my number 1 of all time is...
I Want You Back by the...
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, So when I say perfect song, right, usually what I say is, well, what are they going to do to this song to make it better than it already is, right? So that's the reason that I picked those four songs. There's nothing that could be done. They were done perfectly.
Yes, the vocals, the production.
Yeah, yeah. So that's why I picked those. But, I mean, I don't know. If I don't super love a song, it's hard for me to say that I feel like it was perfect. And, you know, a lot of those songs, obviously, I Want You Back and songs like Billie Jean, but some of those, they aren't even, like, New Kid in Town's a perfect example. It's not that poppy. Probably the poppiest song they have is Heartache Tonight, it would be my guess, right?
And that's also their biggest hit.
Even more than Life in the Fast Lane as a pop hit. Yeah. But
I'm with you.
New Kid in Town just doesn't, it doesn't even sound like a pop song.
Yeah, this list is many, many years old. I would have probably revised it, but right? I just read it as I wrote it.
All right. Sorry. Robbie, I don't mean to shit on you. I shouldn't be shitting on your list because it's just your opinion. I like those songs, but I felt like they didn't even meet your own criteria. By the way,
it's fine.
But my criteria.
Hold on. Who makes a list with 61 things on it?
Yeah. Where'd that number come from, Robbie?
It was because, I don't know if you remember that a long time ago, we were on a Maryland Terps message board.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And so I would release them. So it
I do remember that.
I would stretch it out through the week. And then the number one song I would, or the number one thing on the list, whatever the list might have been, I would say that as a standalone on a Friday. So I had 10, 10, 10, you know, and then one.
Mm-hmm.
So it has nothing to do with the true home run record in 1 year.
No.
That's the first thing I thought about.
Yeah, people would often think that that was the case, but no, it had just had to do with breaking it down for the 7 days of the week.
Yeah, I mean, you got some good answers there. There's one, what's the Journey song? Don't Stop Believing. You said you got it twice and you hate that song.
I got it three times after that, so yeah.
When I first saw that, I thought, for once in my life, Stevie Wonder. That's the first one that came to mind.
But if I'm using Robbie's criteria, and that's a great song, and Stevie Wonder actually does have a lot of He really does have a lot of great songs that might even fit the criteria as a perfect song. But for Robbie's list, right, is it Superstition?
Signed, Sealed, Delivered.
Yeah, that's a good one. By the way, I think his biggest hit is I Just Called to Say I Love You, which is absolute shit.
Yeah.
Right.
But I like Rob's choice. That would be my favorite. For once in my life.
And then you did, this is what the show's turned into. What did Joe tweet about?
Yeah, but there's discussions.
We'll do one of my tweets. This is what I asked, another poll question. You have to be quarantined with one of these three couples from The Office. Michael and Jan, Ryan and Kelly, Dwight and Angela.
Oh,
and first
God.
Of all, I want to shit on former guest of the show, Katie Brady, who says, D, Jim and Pam, they are the only tolerable characters on that show. And I'm like, yeah, exactly. That's why they're not an option. That's the kid.
way to get jokes.
Yeah. Hey, you can only eat one food: celery, radishes, a grape, or pizza. It's like, come on. Right?
I like grapes. So clearly, you can't be in with Dwight and Angela, right? That has to be the first one gone, right?
I got a lot of love for that on Facebook.
Hey, not real life.
The reasons.
That's not,
They're prepared for shit. Angela's there, there's cats if you're a cat person. And then you got if you're Dwight's, you got the farm. So just from in terms of maybe you got more food available to you.
I mean, well, okay, that doesn't what I mean, I feel like those are clearly the two most unbearable. Dwight, if he was a real person, you couldn't hang out. You couldn't spend any time with him.
No, I agree, but I'm just saying
I'm pretty sure it's
no contest. I mean, I'm getting a lot of We Will Survive and Everything Will Be Clean. A lot of love for Dwight and Angela.
I feel like Ryan and Kelly are the clear number one.
Shout out to Jimmy Mayer for saying I think Dwight and Angela would be most likely to get super into Dungeons and Dragons with me.
So. They're the only shot he's got.
Yeah. Now, for the poll, which is still going on, the leader right now is Michael and Jan. Somebody said I could laugh at Michael and get drunk with Jan, which I think is a strong possibility.
Michael is tough. You forget some of the stuff, right? He would also be tough to be in there with. I mean, Kelly would be tough, but I think she'd be better than Mike. Now, Michael's the funniest, but, you know, we're watching him. We're not living. You know, if it was a real person, you couldn't live with Michael Scott.
Well, I think Ryan and Kelly, I mean, they're going to be arguing the whole time. It's, you know, I don't really want to have a conversation with either one of them.
I mean, I hear you. By the way, my other poll was name four songs, not that suck. That's easy to do. That everybody loves that you can't stand. Did you see that?
You said Black Hole Sun.
Black Hole Sun, yes, which is my...
Mm-hmm.
It's my biggest.
Yellow, Cardi B, We Didn't Start the Fire, Billy Joel, God's Plan, Drake, which I didn't know that. I mean, when I heard that song, I knew it, but I didn't.
God, I hate that song so much. Do you like those songs?
Yeah, I guess, but I don't. I would never defend them to anybody. Does that make sense?
It does, but I do think most people. I don't know that most people like. Yeah, they do. Like my father wouldn't like Bodak Yellow. I understand. You know what I mean?
No.
But he probably wouldn't even like, you know, I'm trying to think of any other contemporary song that Heartache Tonight, we were talking about, he probably wouldn't like that.
No, but he's not a normal person. I mean, in terms of music, I mean, but where did God's plan come from? Were you just listening to that song? I mean,
no,
I've never heard you mention Drake.
Well, because it happened for a couple of reasons. First of all, that song has been played for me multiple times. Okay. And every time it comes on, I'm like, oh, you know, it just makes my skin crawl, right? Then in that show, Dave, which is hilarious, he's having sex with his girlfriend, and he is able to finish by looking at a picture of Drake. So that made me laugh, and that's what reminded me of it. But I genuinely do hate that song, and that song is loved. You know, the people that work with me are much younger than me, and they would talk. They love that song. So those four. Now there's a lot more, but those four are pretty universally liked songs. We Didn't Start the Fire is probably the one that people like the least. Right? That's got to be almost everybody's least favorite Billy Joel song, I would assume.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Robbie, how do you feel about We Didn't Start the Fire?
It's constructed well, but you hear it once and you're like, okay, yeah.
Right. It's so funny because it's The End of the World, which is a similar feel by REM. I like that song.
I do like that song.
Maybe it feels like it's just not so fucking forced. Maybe I'm wrong about it.
We have another entry into the Donald Trump impressions.
Yeah. See what you think, Joe.
Hey, this is for the Rob and Joe show. This is the Donald Trump, President, United States, calling in. I heard some of your impersonations of me. One from some giant, green giant looking guy named Jel Coven, and another one by the phenomenal Chris Restivo. Clearly, hands down, the best impersonation I've ever heard in my entire life. I mean, probably better than me actually doing me myself. I don't sound anything like Donald Trump. That's why I needed to actually record this and send it to you, so you understand, you know? We do it more bigly here. So, official endorsement from fake Donald Trump for Chris Restivo.
So that person is funnier than that was funny, but the impression wasn't very good. JL's is so spot on. It's hard when I hear these other ones. You know what I mean? But who was that? Eric Woodworth?
You know who that was?
Was it Eric?
Yes, it's Eric Woodworth. Yes.
It's funny. I guessed him the last time when it was Dr. Gill. But it's not, by the way, it's not horrible.
That's why Eric said it in, Joe, because you guessed him.
I thought it was exactly the same as
good when he sent it to us. So that's fine. But speaking of JL, the most famous man in the world, he texted me. So Joe Robinson mentions him on the Rob and Joe show. 3 days later, he's following me. Speaking of Jermaine Clement from What We Do in the Shadows. God.
Well, he's come out as the most famous Trump impressionist who's also has the furthest left political leaning. So, and these guys, I don't know if you ever see Jermaine Clements, help me out with that, Clements, Twitter, but there's a lot of politics in there. So, you know, I bet you that has a lot to do with it too.
Yeah, I think, this is huge for JL. This thing, this whole COVID and the Trump thing, I'm surprised he hasn't done this. Maybe he has, and they never took off, but doing these Trump, obviously there wasn't as many Trump press conferences. You know, they went from once every few months probably to every day. So there's more material. But I said it. I think if Trump wins, he says he's going to stop doing Trump. But I say he's got to ride this thing out.
No, if Trump wins 100%, yes. I mean, what? Listen, you understand that he has nothing to do with whether or not Trump wins or loses. He doesn't have anything to do with it. So if he wins, he isn't the cause of it. He can go ahead and continue to make fun of him. You know what I mean? He can do that.
Yeah, look, you can still make fun of him for like a year or two, even if he loses. But if he wins again, you get four more years, and then that year or two on top of that, you got another 6-7 years.
If he serves two full terms, yeah. And there, by the way, you know that he's going to say a million ridiculous things. They're going to try to impeach him again. I mean, yes, now's the time. You got to strike while the iron's hot. He's going to make himself famous and go out there and make some money off of it. And by the way, it's not you're not selling yourself out. This is the brand you built, and you're great at it. Go, you know what I mean? Go get paid on it for as long as you possibly can. You don't think
he does. It's the best impression. He knows. He's got the nuance. He's got the little sayings. He writes funny lines. He can, with the hat and just the close-up with just the face, he can make it work.
Dude, he's been on Howard Stern. So. Yeah, I mean, he was a guest on Howard Stern. You know, by the way,
Julie,
you know, he's
Louise Dreyfus just followed him, I think.
Yeah,
I
and Richard Marx is friends with him.
Yes.
They're friends. Seriously, they're hanging out.
How many Richard Marx songs are perfect?
Zero are perfect, but I mean, he was a good pop star. I didn't hate him.
Yeah, I didn't hate him.
Robbie, what's your favorite Richard Marx song?
That one ballad. I can't
Hold remember. On to the Night. I'm trying to remember. I mean, we're going to know a lot of them. Let me see here. Richard,
Right Here Waiting.
Yeah, That's Right Here Waiting.
That's the one.
Here's his song.
Summer Nights.
Oh, yeah. Listen, you're going to know a lot of his songs. Here, I'm going to put Richard Marx songs.
Don't Mean Nothing.
Yeah, you know that song. Don't Mean Nothing, the words that you say. Don't Mean Nothing, the games that people play. Don't Mean Nothing, No Victim, No Crime. Don't Mean Nothing till we assign it on the dotted line. Did I get that right? So what else? Now and Forever, I know that. What's this song? I don't know that. Endless Summer Nights, I know. Should Have Known Better, you know that song. Don't Mean Nothing. I think that's
He's
it.
He's also written some hits for NSYNC, it says.
He has?
Yeah.
Hey, his spouse? Do you know who his spouse is? Do you know who it is?
I don't.
Daisy Fuentes.
Oh, dude.
God, are you kidding me?
So J. Al and Richard are best friends. So we're like two people removed from being friends with Daisy Fuentes.
No, he wouldn't want us coming in here with our moderate politics. He would never allow them to know that he knows us. It's the last thing he would do. If you said
he wrote something called "No Strings Attached" by NSYNC.
No, that's an album, right?
This I promise you. Yeah. I mean, he's got a prolific songwriting here.
No, he was a huge star, no doubt. Now he's best friends with JL. Do you think if you went to JL, no, you, maybe you, but if I went to JL and I said, listen, I'm the biggest Richard Marx fan. I have all his albums. I've seen him in concert a zillion times. Can you arrange for me to meet him? I'd like to meet the guy. Would he do it?
What about just you want tickets? No, you'll buy the tickets, but you want backstage passes.
Yeah, I'm already going. Is it cool if can you make sure that I can meet him?
And then would you wear your Make America Great Again five-plated clothing t-shirt that Chris will make you?
If it was important to Chris, I would.
I think the JL would say no to that. I think when you get a new celebrity friend, the last thing you want to do is lose it.
No, so you're right.
I bet he's not even asking that for himself right now.
I'm trying to think. I don't have any real celebrity friends, but if JL wanted to meet Justin, I would introduce him to him.
Do you think it's possible that JL hates Richard Marx's music, but now is pretending that he loves his music?
Like Michael Bolton in our Office Space?
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah.
100%.
That's a good question. I will say this. I'll bet he didn't love Richard Marx. Hey, but I'll bet you if there's anything in the annals of him criticizing the music of Richard Marx, I'll bet you that you couldn't get him to not say he changed his mind. He won't say, no, I actually hate Don't Mean Nothing. I actually hate that song. He'll never do it.
Well, he was on his podcast, it looks like.
He was on the Richard Marx podcast. Was Richard Marx on his podcast? God, I hope Richard Marx doesn't. I can't have him hanging out with Richard Marx. Let me see where he lives.
It looks like he was on Richard Marx's podcast called Social Distancing. I guess it's a new podcast.
Yeah, it doesn't say where he lives now. I'm looking for here it is, personal life. No, he currently lives in he lives in Malibu. Good, JL can't get to him.
It has 6,400 views. 189 likes, 14 dislikes. This is the YouTube link to JL and Richard Marx. First comment, these are two guys whose careers are going in the opposite direction.
Oh, really? Somebody shit on... I assume Richard Marx is the one who's going down, right?
According to this person. I bet you Richard Marx is doing just fine.
He might be doing just fine, but they're right. He was a much bigger star in the 80s than he is now. It is on the downturn, right? It's hard to argue with that.
He's married to Daisy Fuentes. I think no matter what, I think he's still going up far faster than
what's the net worth of Richard Marx? I mean, if he produced for NSYNC, then, you know what I mean?
He's worth $350 million easy.
What? You're out of your fucking mind. No way is he worth that.
You think
that.
He's worth less than that?
Yeah, a lot less.
He wrote those songs. He's got royalties coming out his ass.
All right.
Well, okay, it's not. You know, All I Want for Christmas Is You. It's not but like he's making millions off these songs.
But he wrote 15 hits. I mean, Joe just read them.
When's the last time you heard him on the radio?
His worth is $24 million. Okay. Now we're
$25 million.
Now we're in the real world at this point.
Oh, man.
But you also have to combine Daisy Fuentes' net worth of a million.
How much is Smokey Robinson worth?
Well, that's different. He's $100 million.
Yeah, it's okay. A lot different.
All right. I think he's worth more than that.
Well, how much is Richard Marx worth now that he's friends with J.L. Covan?
I'm sure that has no effect on his worth. Net worth. All right,
let me
ready?
Type in J.L. Covan.
Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, let's find out J.L. Covan's net worth, and then let's get out of here.
The last post is, let me see, it's got his picture. Oh, his worth is $1.5
million. I'll bet you're wrong about that.
I am. Let me look up Dan Ninen. Nothing found. That's too bad. All right. Good show, guys. We'll be back next week with, you know, whatever Joe tweeted about later.
Later.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.